Good night to all of our listeners. You are tuned in to Iran Radio Broadcasting from Tehran. Glad you could join us. I'm your host for the next hour. We start off this hour's programs with Youth Station, a program all about young people covering topics all related to youth. After that, we have Israel Watch. The program critically analyses Zionist media reports about current events and issues in the West Asia region. And our final program this hour is for humanity, a variety of subjects from the Holy Quran, which predominantly tend to be social issues, are presented in this program. Stay with us for the next hour.
Start. Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamadi.
Islamadi.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Welcome back to a very new episode of Youth Station. Well, this is me, Asma. Once more, I have the honor to be at your service. I have with me
Brother Ali at your service, like always.
Yes, thank you for being here. Well, Youth Station is home, sweet home. But unfortunately, today I'm a bit of allergic, and then this is my voice, so you have to tolerate me, and I'm so sorry for that. So, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, I guess. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah,
fine. What's the topic of today?
The topic is something very interesting.
It is.
Like many people in the world do believe in naturalism.
Mm-hmm.
They do believe in determinism.
Sure.
Like you are determined and actually defined by your genes.
Yeah.
And by whatever you get from your parents,
mm-hmm.
from the environment you live in. These are the things that are going to define you and determine your future. Now, is it right? Is it wrong? Nobody knows.
Sure.
Yeah. So, personally, I do believe that. The genes have got a great impact in your future,
mm-hmm.
in who you are, in your personality, in many of your traits. But the thing is, it's not the whole story.
Yes, but I mean, I'm getting a sense of regret in your voice by saying maybe, do you regret like you have not somehow received all those great genes of great geniuses in the history? Or you are a genius, though. I mean, like in some
hey,
cases.
I was just about to say that.
Okay.
I'm a genius myself. So
yeah, sure.
I don't have
That's
to envy them.
That's a spirit. Yeah. I mean, for me, I mean, again, no one can deny the significant roles of inheritance. Let it be the cultural inheritance or the environmental inheritance. But I guess I don't like to deny that I do have a free choice and free will,
mm-hmm.
and I can make my own choice, depends on my
preferences. That's the very point, I guess. It's true that we're not totally free, and according to me, there's no such a thing as a complete freedom in this world.
True.
You're not so free, but then also you're not so much restricted into the genes,
mm-hmm.
or the choices that are pre-planned for you,
mm-hmm.
like where you live, which family you're going to be a part of, or some stuff like this that you have no choice
yes.
about them.
Yes.
Well, to believe that I'm restricted to my genes would make life so desperate and depressing. And that's so sad. So I think that those people who believe in determinism, those people who believe that they are restricted to their genes, to their, I don't know, whatever they have inherited, whether it be the physical or the metaphysical stuff,
mm-hmm.
then their life is so pessimistic. And I think it's all about the negative stuff.
Definitely. And you can see that sort of attitude in so many poets or singers when, like, they are, you know, in one sense, I would believe that some people, they don't want to believe, they don't want to hold themselves responsible for their actions and their bad plannings in their life, right? Whenever they face a problem, somehow they want to relate it to other stuff rather than, you know, believe themselves responsible for their things. So that could be an answer. That would be there should be this ability in every person, in my opinion, to find the goodness, the shiny parts of their lives, even they are drowned with all these, you know, difficulties and hardships.
So you're one of those people who believes in the bright side.
Yes.
All the human beings in the history have always focused on this point, have highlighted this very impact of hope, that us human beings without hope are nothing.
I'm saying that among some nations and among some people, specific culture, you see they are more open to dramatic and sadness.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So they, maybe this is because of their defensive mechanism. They like to observe more sadness. They find the negative.
They're more inclined to the negative side.
Definitely.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back. This is Youth Station, and we are having quite an interesting discussion. And I guess it happens nowadays for everyone to think about such issues that, okay, am I really defined by what my parents did,
mm-hmm.
or what they have inherited to me?
Yes.
What has been passed down to me by the previous generations or not? So you were saying that some people, culturally speaking,
mm-hmm.
some people are more inclined to dramas, to making things look so overwhelming, so
exactly.
negative. So, and they're maybe more inclined into the negative sides of everything.
They just need a push, like, they just open, can, you know,
but
I don't
why?
Know, fly.
I think history is an indication, like, maybe they take history mm-hmm. as an indication, as
yes.
a role model.
Yes.
So whenever something bad happens, maybe that will be the start of something good. But then they don't see that in it, because they do believe that, no, this happened before and we know where it goes.
Exactly. And you don't see happy ending in their stories, I mean, most of the time.
Yeah.
Like, they are seeing, I mean, the dark side of the world is really more emphasized in their lives
mm-hmm.
and their attitudes. Maybe they are more realistic. Maybe we should be a little bit crazy to live and be hopeful about our life.
Oh, that's very true. I do believe in that. I do believe that. Realistic people are more inclined to be negative people.
And there is another important stuff, like the blessing and rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is
course.
Out there, right?
Yeah.
So when we know there's goodness, there's
mm-hmm.
a supporter out there, a higher entity, so maybe we should be crazy about this part.
Yeah, a little bit of craze would make life much more beautiful. And I do believe that miracles happen only to those who believe in them.
Yes.
So if you do believe in restrictions, if you do believe that your genes determine your future and you have got no part, no share in your future, then I think you have to review whatever you have in your mind.
But I do have a question. Have you ever had this fight against your nature or against something you knew, or you like trace it back to your parents or something related to genetic, and you wanted to fight it against it? For example, like your grandpa, your grandma
mm-hmm.
had this sort of attitude. You didn't like it or you disprove it.
Yeah.
You want to change it
mm-hmm.
in another way. Have you ever been?
Well, see, I have learned that you must accept people the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
And you shouldn't have the idea of changing other people in your mind.
No, I'm talking about changing yourself.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
See, if I have got anything by any chance from my grandparents or from my parents, and I know that it's bad, so I try to change it in myself. But it's not like a fighting or something.
I mean, does it take too much of effort, or it easily can be removed?
Any
by you
change
yourself?
In this world takes too much of effort.
Mm-hmm.
Any change. So No change would happen so easily. Rome hasn't been built over only one night.
But, you know, they say the sins of father.
Yeah.
So.
But do we believe in that?
Not really. Because so many cases, so many cases in the history, like.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to open up that negative side of mine.
Yes.
Because that's not very good. And I think it's not going to be so, so much of motivating and inspiring.
Yes.
Sometimes in our lives, we may come to think that, okay, yes, it is determined to go this way or the other way. But then some other days when you're in your good mood,
mm-hmm.
you would realize that, yes, maybe miracles are going to happen. And the things that I have kept in my mind as determined for me
mm-hmm.
have a chance to change.
Exactly.
So hope is the last thing that dies. I think whenever you wake up with this idea that nothing is going to change and everything is pre-planned for me,
mm-hmm.
that day you lack hope in your life. What you need is actually is the urge to go and search for hope. And I guess hope is just right there in your heart. You
yes.
don't have to go and find it elsewhere. You just have to dig a little bit deeper in yourself. And by the way, if you have a deeper connection with your Lord,
mm-hmm.
I guess that would help you a lot to have this optimistic view about your future and to trust Him and to believe that even if there is something that has been planned for you previously
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and you had no part and no share in it, then because God is actually backing you up, then everything is going to be okay.
Definitely. And we can also point out the people who didn't have like decent father or mother or decent sort of parenting.
Exactly.
And they, you know, end up being good people.
Honorable people.
And
yeah.
sometimes you see they changed history. Literally, they changed history.
Exactly.
And this, I guess, prove this idea of, you know, everything is related to genetics and inheritance. Somehow it show that we cannot oversimplify the idea of inheritance has everything to say
mm-hmm.
in this matter.
Exactly. Well, there's I have to make something so clear. Well, yes, of course, genetics and inheritance have got a share in who you are. That's a part of you and that's a fact.
Yes.
And that's a real thing. Nobody can deny that. Your environment is going to have an impact on your future as well.
Definitely.
I mean, like the country you were born in, like the school even you go
your
to.
Friends.
So these are the things that are going to act like the setting for you. They have actually been pre-planned for you.
Mm-hmm.
They're just the setting. But then the character and the personality is something you have a great share in it. And you can change it, even if you have been nurtured in a bad environment.
Yes.
As we have it in our narrations, sometimes a flower may come out of a dirty place.
Yes, true.
There's nothing wrong with the idea that, okay, it's a flower.
Yes.
So, yes, don't be so pessimistic, I guess.
Definitely.
I would end it in only one, or maybe more than one sentence.
Okay.
This is just the gist of what we were talking about. Even if you are in a bad situation, maybe this is the mission of your life,
yes.
to go and change it, to
exactly.
find a way out of it. So maybe you have been given a special capacity to change the terrible situation you're in. Nothing happens with no reason. So
definitely.
Everything has got a reason. If you had a bad parent, if your parents have got divorced, if you are born in a country with low facilities and there is no way for you to think of improvement or involvement in yourself, then trust me, that's there is a mission that's been put on your shoulder to go and search for a way out of all of these troubles and problems. So don't take it so simply and do not accuse yourself. You're
definitely.
Not accused. Your situation is not to be blamed. Just accept the reality as it is and then try to change it. That's it. Every moment is a new chance for you to turn it all around. And of course, God is there. He would always be there to back you up. So no worries. And then be so hopeful. I guess that's all.
Yeah. No matter where you have started, there's always a way out of that situation.
Exactly.
You have the steering wheel of your life. Just keep going.
Yeah. and be so hopeful and powerful.
Hope for the best.
Yeah, you're young enough to change it all around. So thank you for listening to us. I hope it was fruitful. And see you next time.
Take care.
Yeah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you dear youth will see that day, and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about this.
We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ya Latif, Ya Latif, Ya Latif,
Ya Latif, Ya Latif, Ya Latif.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من، این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones. But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran, Quran.
Welcome. Israeli media focused on the Israeli aggression against Doha, the failure of the assassination attempt against the Hamas leadership in Qatar, the course of the war on the Gaza Strip and the occupation of the city, and the project of annexing the occupied West Bank to the occupation entity. It also focused on Tel Aviv's rejection of a visit that French President Macron intends to carry out to the entity, and on the wave of outrage in global and especially American public opinion due to the war crimes committed by the occupation in the Gaza Strip. These topics will be the focus of discussion with Dr. Mohammed Swaydan, academic and writer in international affairs, joining us here in the studio. Hello and welcome, Dr. Mohammed.
Thank you.
The Israeli aggression against Doha was the subject of commentary by analysts in Hebrew media, who viewed the failed attempt to assassinate Hamas leaders in Qatar as significant. Dr. Muhammad, what are the reasons that pushed Netanyahu to take the decision to attack Qatar in order to assassinate Hamas leaders?
Now, first of all, it's important for people to know that Netanyahu didn't keep anything secret. From day one, he said the goal is to eliminate all of Hamas. Military wing or political wing, he doesn't care. Civilians or not civilians, he doesn't care. He set a goal from goal one, from day one, to destroy, to eliminate all of Hamas. And he also said there is no place, he said that there's no place in the region that's safe for the leaders of Hamas. So today he practiced what he already was promising. He was saying that there's no place in the region. Today he practiced it. The timing is related to the negotiations. And I really believe that what he's speaking about is ironic. You know, you go and kill the negotiation team, and then you say, we don't know where the negotiations will go. Well, you killed the ones you are negotiating with. Where do you think the negotiations will go to? So I think that Netanyahu was clear from day one. There's no place in the region that is safe for the resistance, for him. Mm-hmm. And he will follow them, not only in Qatar, in Turkey, in Egypt, in every country in the region. And the goal is to eliminate Hamas, not negotiate with it.
So back to the timing, it's about destroying negotiations?
Yes, because as we spoke before, for Netanyahu, there's no negotiations. The goal is to eliminate. When you eliminate, you only use negotiations to pass time. So you only use negotiations to give yourself more time, to act more, to try to achieve your goals more. That's what he was doing in the last couple of days. So he tried to kill the negotiations team in Qatar. And let me remind people that after the war on Iran, several platforms in the Arab world, also in Turkey, were speaking about that we are next. After Iran, Israel will go and target leaders in our countries. So they were feeling, they were worried about this thing. And this is what happened today. And today after Qatar, who should feel not safe? Turkey, Egypt, all the countries in the region.
Jordan,
today,
Saudi. Okay, but negotiations have been ongoing for a very long time. Now, Dr. Muhammad, why now assassinate? Was it about to achieve something or vital decision?
There are
the benefit of Hamas.
Of course, the negotiations are never for the benefit of Hamas. But there are several reasons. Now, the main reason is that Israel was ready to attack Hamas leaders outside the doors of the countries of the Axis of Resistance. After the war with Iran.
Mm-hmm.
So after the war with Iran, when there is serious negotiations, this is the timing that Israel should use. And that's what it did. Because I think there's a rule in the region. When the axis of resistance is strong, then all the capitals in the region are safe. When this axis weakens, then all the capitals of the region allied with the U.S. or not.
And you think that Netanyahu and Trump are taking advantage of this concept that you're highlighting?
Yes, they worked on weakening the acts of resistance. Now they are attacking every capital in the region.
We stay with the aggression on Qatar, which one Knesset member described as justified. Since Qatar today is a terrorist state that funds and sponsors Hamas, and that the Israeli entity must always treat it on this basis. What's your opinion of this Israeli stance, especially when the person here described the Qatar as the empire of terror and that all countries should be taking attention to that?
You know,
since when does Israel speak vividly about this, about Qatar this way? What happened?
No, Israelis always speak vividly about their beliefs. They have an ideology that doesn't see anyone other than them. Today, if you remember that a couple of years ago when there were protests inside of occupied Palestine, and they were saying bad words about Prophet Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a problem with Prophet Muhammad. So of course they have a problem with every Arab world. Today in Israel there are several
groups. But they're also interested in the Abraham Accords.
They are not interested. They have a benefit in the Abraham Accords. But at the same time they are signing a deal with an Arab country. They also believe that this Arab country is a terrorist country. Is a country that doesn't. That they have leverage over and everything. But today in Israel, there are different factions, different groups. You know, even there are groups that believe that Christians should be killed, not only Muslims. There are groups inside of Israel that believe that Christians shouldn't be killed, Israel should fight Christians and everything. There are groups that are against Islam. There are groups that are against Arabs. So this is the right-wing ideology inside of Israel. They don't believe in anyone other than them. And that's what, when time passes, this ideology will be expressed more and more. We always said that Israel wants to kill everyone that's not Israeli. That's what they want. But they couldn't achieve that. Now, every time they have a chance, they're going to show us that everyone that's not aligned with Israel 100% will be killed, will be targeted as an empire of terror and everything. Qatar is what hosts one of the biggest American stations in the region. Qatar is one of the most important American allies in the region. Qatar is assisting the U.S. in negotiating with Hamas. With all of this, still it was targeted. And the U.S. was knew before that it was going to be targeted. And no one helped Qatar. And over all of that, this guy calls it the Emperor of Terror. If Qatar is the Emperor of Terror, then what is Iran then? So I think that it's just a reflection of the Israeli ideology that no one other than Israelis has to live.
But the animosity here is that the Israel believes at one point that Qatar is the server or is the supporter of the Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas. However, the UAE is the one that's against this line at one point. Is this what they, are they moving on with the plan, taking it on the behalf of other Persian Gulf countries?
Of course, they are trying to work on...
And that's what the spokesperson yesterday highlighted.
Yes.
This is not a war against Gaza. It's about also changing Persian Gulf countries.
Not only the Persian Gulf countries, changing the region. And that's why I said before that one of the places that could be targeted is Turkey. One of the places that could be targeted is Egypt. So it's about changing the whole, all of the region. And Netanyahu told
us... He highlighted it's not about changing the Middle East.
Exactly.
Obviously, maybe it's about changing locations or countries.
Yes, I really think that today, yes, the UAE is the number one ally, the main ally for Israel because it's part of the Abraham Accord. It's giving support to Israel in different places. But at the same time, in the right-wing ideology of Israel, at a certain moment, UAE will have no benefit for Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And at a certain moment, Israel will ask from UAE more and more and more. So it's not about who is today my ally. Qatar was, before October 7, one of the main allies. Today it's the Emperor of Terror. Tomorrow maybe UAE, after that Saudi Arabia. So it's about the thing is the Israeli ideology, not the country on the other side. The
yes.
problem is with this ideology.
Okay, but how will this actually serve the Americans? Because Qatar hosts the biggest military base, the American military base. How would this benefit the Americans, or even affect the relationship between the both sides?
I think that it benefits the Americans in one way. It tells every country in the region that if you don't obey me 100%, then the price is high. Because today I have an ally in the region.
It's a message from the United States to Qatar?
To all the countries of the region, of course. Because, you know, Qatar supported...
But why?
Because Qatar supported Hamas in the media field and by letting them be inside of Qatar. So these two
Qatar
things...
Qatar does not obey the American needs?
It obeys the American needs, but there is a difference between obeying the American needs based on allies and obeying the American needs based on fear. Mm-hmm. The maximum level of obey you reach when you are afraid. Today, the U.S. wants all the countries of the region to feel afraid. That's the when it gets from them the maximum level of obedience.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's telling. Today, it can tell every country of the region, you either do what I want, or I can't let Israelis attack you. And it said this to the Lebanese government. When it came to Lebanon, Tom Barak said to the Lebanese government, either you obey or Israel may attack. I can't say not.
But would this actually serve the Israelis' interest?
Of course it serves. The more the countries
and
of the region...
And the American interest.
The more the countries of the region are obedient to the U.S., the more this serves the Israeli-American interest on the short
and
term.
And that's the way that Trump is functioning?
Yes. It's
taking
it's
it this way in
peace,
order to...
Peace for the through strength.
Yes.
But this is on the short term. On the long term, this doesn't serve the American
interest. But
what
is the outcome here, Dr. Muhammad? Let's speak about the outcome. What would be the outcome of this pressure?
I think the outcome of this pressure is increasing the obedience of the countries towards the U.S. and Israelis on the short term. But on the long term, these countries today are more convinced that Iran was right, that you can't deter Israel if you're weak. You can't deter Israel if you're allied with the U.S. Today, I am reading on a daily basis in Arab newspapers,
yes,
and in Turkish newspapers several articles that speak about deterrence with Israel, and that the right way to deter Israel is by speaking with Iran. Because when Iran was strong, we were protected. When Iran was weakened, we have been hit. So I think on the short term, the countries of the region will have to obey Israel and the U.S., but they will work on the medium and the long term to try to have their own independence, to try to deter Israel, to try to send messages, but this will be at a cost.
What factors did you depend on to come up with the analysis that on the long term they might change their opinion?
No, it's a pragmatic factor, because first of all, based on what several analysts are writing, and number two, pragmatism. When you pressure any state that is your ally to a place where you need from it full obedience and you take any sense of independence, then this state will not bear this level of obedience.
And that's what reflects how Iran and Egypt are becoming becoming closer with their ties.
Yes, and that's what reflects everyone at the time. And then we are seeing higher voices inside of Turkey, mm-hmm, higher voices inside of Egypt. We are seeing people in different countries of the world. Even Al Jazeera, for example. Al Jazeera's voice was becoming higher and higher throughout time. Why? Because the U.S. was pressuring it more. Today we have to see how Al Jazeera, for example, will react. Will it be more obedient? So will the American strategy work or no? So there are many facts that we have to view in the
short. So you're saying that it also can be a message to Al Jazeera and Qatar?
Of course. Al Jazeera is one of the sides that's getting the message. The American side is the Qatar and the whole country of the region.
The chief of staff of the occupation army, Eyal Zamir, is still opposed to Netanyahu's administration's decision to occupy Gaza City. Yet, he agreed to carry out the plan approved by the administration despite his own opposition. However, he will execute it in his own way and slowly, so as not to endanger his soldiers, as reported by the Hebrew media. The Hebrew media obviously reports that Zamir will take the operation to occupy Gaza City slowly in order to protect the soldiers at one point. Does that mean that this operation will take a longer time, if that's his plan?
Yeah, of course. You know, I think that it's not about his plan or other plan. The occupation of Gaza, or trying to occupy Gaza, whether you do it slowly or not, will take a lot of time and will not be achieved. You know, it's what Israelis are not understanding, that inside the axis of resistance, you are not fighting only with the groups. So in Gaza, you are not fighting Hamas. You are fighting the Palestinians. So you don't know who you are fighting with. All of the Palestinians inside of Gaza, when you try to occupy their land, will go and fight you. So that's why, whatever strategy he conducts, trying to occupy Gaza will take a lot of time, and it's very hard to achieve. And that's why the military was objecting on Netanyahu that, well, you are asking us to achieve a goal that's not achievable, and it will be very costly for us. So I think suggesting a plan that needs a lot of time is one way of Zamir to buy time.
Okay, but at the same time, will the Zionists endure, the Zionist soldiers, will they endure a long time?
I think that...
A long war on Gaza?
Well, yes, they will endure it, but on what cost? So if you ask if whether this strategy, you will always have Israeli soldiers to act, yes, there will always be Israeli soldiers, but what's the cost? If you try to occupy Gaza and you take a long time to do so, at the end of the road, when you fail, you will not have a regular military. Mm-hmm. You will have a military that is exhausted, that doesn't act well, that has entered into Gaza for more than 2 years and failed to achieve any goal inside of Gaza. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. The problem is that Zamir is telling Netanyahu, well, what you are asking may or may not be achieved, but if it was achieved, the cost of achieving it is very high. If I occupy Gaza, I will not have any more soldiers to protect Gaza.
Despite all his criticism and objections, but yet he agreed to carry out the plan.
Because he doesn't have any choice. You know, it's not only regarding this side, not only about Israel. In every country around the world, there are military-political relations, mm-hmm, where always the military is obliged to adopt what the political side asks it to do. Like inside in Lebanon, for example, the Lebanese head of the army didn't want to achieve or didn't want to accept the Lebanese government's decision regarding Hezbollah's weapons. But at the end of the road, he has to do so. That's why he suggested a plan that isn't costly for them. So it's always about the military having to obey. It doesn't have the choice.
Israeli social media, however, reacted to the continuation of the war on the Gaza Strip with no concern for the risk to the Zionist captives. Here are some of comments.
Yoni Ben Menachem. After more than 700 days of the war, Gaza's destruction and starvation led by Likud and Talmud, Netanyahu continues this war. Amir Tibon. After 2 years of war, Hamas roams Gaza with the Israeli captives, moving them from place to place in broad daylight without fear. Instead of rescuing the captives from this hell, the administration of utter failure continues to sell lies and myths to the public about absolute victory over Hamas. Liran Baruch. Come tell us, Netanyahu the genius, how you will push for an agreement conditioned on Hamas's surrender.
Israeli commentator reports that the occupation forces fear that Hamas might activate a West Bank front, and coinciding, as according to him, with the United Nations confidence to recognize the Palestinian state. Do you see that scenario happening?
I think that the more Israel shows aggressiveness inside Gaza and inside Palestine, the more this encourages several states, including the United Nations, to do. To stay the Palestine as a state, and this is because no one today could, you know, Israel may have won several tactical achievements in the region, but the cost of them was losing the whole world. And the whole world today, Israel is an apartheid state. Mm-hmm. It's a state that kills children. So it lost the whole of the world for tactical achievements. That's what several Israelis are saying today, that when you put the achievements and the costs in one balance, it's always the costs that are much more
strategic
than that.
Strategic failure.
Yes, and I think that what he was saying about the West Bank, it's only part of a narrative that it's preparing the whole world that we have to act in the West Bank. So they will act in the West Bank, and this is part of the narrative they are preparing for that.
And do you think they will achieve it?
They will act. Whether they will achieve the goals or not is another thing. I don't think they will achieve the goals. Mm-hmm. But they will act. And Israelis are very clear. From
yes.
day one, they said, we want to occupy Gaza. We want to act in the West Bank. They told us all their
plan. Annex the West Bank.
They told us all their plan from day one. Today, we're only saying this plan while achieving it from the Israeli
army. Dr. Mohammed Swaydan, academic and writer in international affairs, thank you very much for joining
thank
us
you.
In this episode.
The earth and the heavens begin to sing. The angels celebrate the birth of a king. A king who outshines the stars of the night. A beacon of hope. You guide us with your love.
quenches the thirst of every broken heart. A piece of paradise in this desert land. Oh yeah, with grace and kindness you fill our empty blessings of God upon you is my prayer. The earth and the heavens begin to sing. This day we celebrate the birth of a king.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except him, and he has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the All Compassionate, the All Merciful, and may great peace and blessing be upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and his household. Assalamu alaikum, my dear brothers and sisters, and welcome back to the series of Talks for Humanity. I'm Hamza Azizi from IRIB English Radio. We were supposed to follow the instructions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His holy book to the human beings for their individual life when we are, even we are alone, we live individually. The way we have to behave individually. We talked about thinking, about knowledge, and about act and efforts. The other issue that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His holy book talks about, that it plays a very major role in the human being's life, is pure and impure things, or to avoid impurity. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes in different occasions in his book. But for talking about pure and impure things or ways or acts or whatever, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invents a new terminology. There are two terms in the holy book: Al-Khabith wa Tayyib. Al-Tayyib means pure. Al-Khabith means impure. And these two terms, they have very broad meaning. Not only they cover and they include the apparent purity and impurity, as we say in Ahkam, Tahir and Najis, pure and impure. Al-Khabith wa Tayyib covers them, but at the same time, it covers other meanings as well. There are some spiritual impurity or spiritual purity. Those are also important to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's review the verses of the Holy Book to see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about avoiding impurity. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in chapter Baqarah verse 222 says, "Inna Allaha yuhibbu at-tawwabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin." The word tahara, term tahara, almost equal to tayyib, means pure. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes the ones who seek forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also He likes the people who seeks purity, al-mutatahirin, the ones who look forward being pure. In another occasion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you avoid impurity, you would possibly catch felicity. Al-falah, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, innama al-khamru. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbidding some issues, some objects, like wine, like lottery, innama al-khamru, then he says, rajsun, wine is a kind of impure object. Rajsun, rajs also is equal with al-khabith, fajtanibu. So what is the outcome of avoiding that? Let's see what is this after the short break.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, my dear audience. This is the series of talks for humanity. I'm Hamza Azizi from IRIB English Radio. I was talking with you about the Quranic issue, purity and impurity, to avoid impurity as one of the instructions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches to human beings for their individual life. I said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when talking about some haram issues like wine, He says that innama al-khamru rijsun, wine is a kind of impure object. Fajtanibu, avoid it. So if we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, if I avoid it, what would happen? If I go for it, I mean for your command, if I obey, what would happen? لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, you might catch felicity. So you might catch the eternal happiness. So it means that to avoid impurity is one of the elements that pave the way for felicity, or so-called salvation in this world and in the hereafter. That was in chapter Ma'idah, verse 90. Also in chapter Ma'idah, verse 100. A few verses after the one that I've recently read. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala touches a very significant point that is, I believe, is one of the guidelines for our modern life today. قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ. Do not think that, okay, pure things and impure things are not very different. You know, some people would say that, okay, you are so tough, you religious people are so tough, they are the same. So what is the difference between, for example, an animal which has been slaughtered based on the Islamic instruction and the other which is not? What is the difference between halal meat and haram meat? What is the difference? No difference. only saying Bismillah and following a very few guidelines make a very big difference? No. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, they are very different. لا يستوي الخبيث والطيب ولو أعجبك كثرة الخبيث. Do not be impressed by the number of impure things, by the decorations, by the apparent beauty of the impure things. You see, if you go to a shop in which the impure and haram things are being sold, you might see different labels, different products from different companies, many types, many, many kinds, many brands. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not be impressed by that. It's impure. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Again, you will reach the felicity. We'll continue this issue, inshallah, in the next episode. Have a good time. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Nabi, sallallahu ala Muhammad, wa ala ali Nabi, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Nabi, sallallahu
about you. IRIB English Radio.
Good night to all of our listeners. You are tuned into Iran Radio, broadcasting from Tehran, Iran. Glad you could join us. I'm your host for the next hour. Here are some interesting facts about the Holy Quran. In total, 25 prophets are mentioned in the Holy Quran in different surahs. Prophet Moses, or Musa in Arabic, peace be upon him, is mentioned 136 times in the Holy Quran, making him the most mentioned prophet of all in the Holy Book of Allah. The literal meaning of the word Quran is the which is being read. The word Quran is repeated 70 times in the Book of Allah itself. The month of Ramadan is the only month of the year mentioned in the Holy Quran in verse 185 of chapter Al-Baqarah, second chapter. We start off this hour's programs with our news bulletin. After that, we have Minbar. Our varied radio productions feature will follow. And our final program this hour is Leader's Speech. The program presents an English translation of a selection of the statements and speeches of the Honorable Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Stay with us for the next hour.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israel's genocidal campaign continues in Gaza with a focus on Gaza City, where the regime's military operations cause more death and destruction. Lebanon's health ministry confirms the killing of one person in an Israeli drone strike near the city of Tyre. And also, in our headlines, Israeli media say a suspected Yemeni missile has targeted the occupied territories a day after the regime's attacks on Sana'a and Jaf left 35 people dead.
Welcome, everybody, here in the Iranian capital, Tehran. This is World News.
Our top story for this half hour, Israel's genocidal campaign continues in Gaza with a focus on Gaza City, where the regime's military operations cause more death and destruction. According to the Gaza Health Ministry, 16 Palestinians have been killed since the early hours of Thursday. In one of the latest attacks, four people were killed and over 47 others were injured when Israeli forces